when we look at our lives, do you consider your life right now in victory as far as your Christianity is concerned? Do you consider yourself kind of on the fringe and thinking that you're on the side of defeat? And if you are doing that, it's apparent that the old devil has got his sights on you, because he wants to destroy the aspect of victory in your life. And if he does so, it not only takes you out, but also takes out the church and the body. So we need to be awful careful that we don't succumb to the disasters of life, and that is be defeated. So as we look at this PowerPoint this morning, I want you to see that victory is God designed, and God blesses us if we're trying to live victorious in our Christian life. Could somebody get the lights? Nathan, would you work on the light there for us? Thank you. You know, it's interesting, because when you look at our lives are laden down with the fact that we just want to win. We're challenged sometimes, and in this case here was obviously an anger management issue, but do you think of your life as headed towards victory? Do you think of your life right at this point headed towards something that's going to be something that God would be glorified in, and because you're living a life of victory? God speaks towards this, and the fact that he speaks to you and that he wants you to live victorious in your Christian living. But interestingly enough, within what God has designed, he's also put in there a default of failure. Because when you look at your Christianity, you're looking at something at both extremes. And if you don't do what's right, if you don't do the things necessary for your life, you're going to fail. But when you look at it in the Christian perspective, you are seeing what can happen if I don't do what God wants me to do or really become. When we find here, it says that no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is doing his part. Even though the element is there for failure or defeat, and it does exist, but we have God's faithfulness so that we don't have to go there. And the sad thing today in the church, and that is that many times people say, I couldn't help it. Many times I was just overwhelmed to a point where there was no other choice but to lay there and rot in sin. But notice what the passage finishes with. It says that he is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will do what? He will provide. And that word there is something that it's found to be in an overabundance. So we cannot say we're blind to God's provision. It's always there. But the question is, how hard are we looking? And do we really desire to be victorious over whatever plagues us? Or are we just waiting to be fallen again and again, succumbing again? You know, we have many times we come across people, and maybe we're ourselves, we're struggling with the same thing over and over and over again. And I'm glad that we're willing to repent and continue to grow in that. But let me ask you this. Logically speaking, shouldn't there come a time when we're over that? Shouldn't there really become a time in our lives when we're over that? Because the Bible says that we are pressing on towards maturity, aren't we? Well, are we gaining victory or are we missing it? The three G's to victory in Christian living. First of all, it's just simple. We just need to find a way to get over it. We need to find a way to get over it. And as we look at our lives, Jesus said, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And that's just a principle that's just laid down over the ages of time. We need to consider our lives in the mode of repentance. Have you thought of what repentance is? And how that in itself is a life-changing process for you and in your Christianity? Let me ask you, honestly speaking, how many of you have already repented of something, even this morning? And if we're honest, if we are honest, we've already done that. Because we are sinful people, and we're struggling against sinful nature, and we're struggling against the world forces of wickedness, as the Scripture teaches us, and we need to overcome. And the only way we're going to do that is we need to find repentance as our best ally. Now, I'm not saying that we need to abuse it, because that's what the denominational world says. You can live like the devil all week long, and then by Sunday, we need to fix it. That's not what this is all about. Repentance is that which keeps us focused on our way to heaven. And we need to be people who practice that. The devil has deceived the church. Repentance in the church shouldn't be like we would apply a broad spectrum herbicide. You know what I mean by that? We buy this herbicide to take care of all the weeds that we see. And so we're spraying it, taking it all in. But you know what? There are some weeds in Kansas now that are resistant to some of the broad spectrum herbicides. And so you know what you've got to do now? You've got to go and contact the extension office, and you've got to find out the one that's the proper one for that application. And you know what? Sometimes it's hard to find the right one. But let me talk to you in this light. In the fact of what God is saying to us, in that when we repent of sin, and when we come forward to repent of sin, sometimes we come up here and says, I'm struggling with stuff. I'm struggling with stuff. And don't get me wrong, I appreciate the fact the honest heart is there that says we're struggling with stuff. But you know what? If you don't confess the sin, you are never going to get over it. Never, never, never. Because maybe you're thinking that maybe I'm too dignified to confess of my pornography. Maybe I'm too dignified to confess of my adultery. Or maybe I'm too dignified to confess of my thievery. Or maybe I'm too dignified to confess that I'm beating my wife. You will never get the victory over that sin. Never, never. You know, you think about this. I was thinking about Jesus Christ this week in the light of this. Did Jesus Christ die a dignified death? Was he treated with dignity as the Roman soldier beat his back to shreds? Was he treated with dignity when the Roman soldier continued to punch him with a clenched fist? Was he treated with dignity as they marched him down the streets, and I believe naked? Was he treated with dignity as they raised him, suspended between heaven and earth, to die like the scum of the earth of a criminal that they say he was? Friends, there was no dignity there. You know why? Because sin, catch this, sin is not dignified. As a matter of fact, sin is the worst thing that a Christian sees. It's almost like a cancer that is destroying you bit by bit. There's nothing beautiful about sin. And we need to get to a point where we abhor sin. And in order for us to get over our sin, to live victorious Christian lives, we need to look at it for what it is. And it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Your pleasure in sin is not a good thing. It's not beautiful. It's a destructive issue in your life. When we look at what God has given us, turn with me if you would. And Brother Nathan, would you hit the lights again? Acts the third chapter for your reading convenience. Acts the third chapter there, verse 19, he says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Have you ever needed a time of refreshing in your life? You've never been to Nevada and the parched deserts of Nevada. And I think it's in Phoenix. I think it's sometimes in the parched deserts of Nevada, even the scorpion and his tongue's hanging out in the heat. That's how nasty it is. And then when you take that cool drink of water, you're refreshed. But you know what? Think about your life in the grip of sin. And every morning you wake up, and if you're still in your sin, how can you not think about the fact that you're damned? How can you not think about the fact that if I died today, I wouldn't make it to heaven? And worse yet, that I am setting an example for my home and that my children probably won't get there because I'm setting such a poor example. Friend, do you need a refreshment? Repent. We need to just go to God and repent of what we know to be wrong so that we can rise up from that state and become victorious on the other side. That's what it is. And if we're not gaining victory, it's because we have not allowed ourselves to let go of sin. We have not confessed those things that plague us and destroy our lives. We need a time of refreshment in our lives. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, there in verse 38, he started out with the tenet of Scripture as he preached, but he said to them, repent. And I often wondered if he stood there a little bit. And they were mulling this over. You know what? They knew exactly what he was talking about. They knew all the issues of their lives. They understood that with sin in my life, I cannot move forward. And so repentance came. It's that transition in our lives as we acknowledge where God wants us to go. We take a different direction, and now we start heading that way. And that's a good thing. And then we find the Scripture moving them onward. As they said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized for what? There it is again. That sin thing keeps coming up. You see how God is so adamant that we rid ourselves of that curse of sin. You see, because you cannot exist in harmony with God as you live in sin. They just cannot coincide. We need to have victory, and I believe victory is possible in our Christian lives, but we've got to be mindful that we cannot live in sin. Cannot live in sin. Kansas is known for the Twisters. Matter of fact, you could buy a postcard and the long Highway 70 that says, Kansas Twisters. I mean, it's synonymous with Kansas. Tornadoes. I don't like tornadoes because I've seen what they do. Tornado warning comes on the radio. You know what I'm thinking? Yeah, I need to find a hole to crawl in because this thing is coming. And you see, the warning is out. And they're giving the public ample time to make a move for safety. And you know what? God has given us ample warning to make a move towards safety. And that is, we've got to get rid of sin. We've got to leave it behind. In order for us to have victory, we've got to get over it. We got to get over our sin. And we've got to move on in life because God desires us that in our lives. Revelation, the second chapter, also, starting there, verse 5, he says, therefore, remember from where you have fallen. And then there's this again, repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove, he says, your lampstand out of its place. Now to us, the lampstand is not a whole lot, but you know what the lampstand meant to them? That was their entire existence. Gone. And you see, God is serious about this, that he says, if we don't take care of those things, he says, there comes a time where I'm done with you. I'm done with you. And we can't play the church thing all our lives and expect God to say, oh, it's okay. He is a God of justice as well as a God of love and mercy. And one day he says, you know what? I've had enough. So we need to be serious about our personal lives. And every day we need to check ourselves to see where we're at. Clean ourselves up. It's a good thing. Secondly, the second G to victorious Christian living is now we need to get on with it. Get over it, get on with it. How many of you are burdened by your day-to-day living? How many of you wake up in the morning, I'm overwhelmed! And then you roll over and hit the snooze button. Life has this way of doing that to us sometimes. Isn't that right? Where all of a sudden we just feel overwhelmed. And then we start to think of all the inadequacies that we are living with. We start to think of all our failures. And we start to think of all the calamities that are around us. And we think, oh, there's no hope. There is no hope. Why try? But contrary to that, there is hope. Notice in Luke, the 9th chapter, in verse 62, he says, Jesus replied, and he says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service, the kingdom of God. So you can't give up. You cannot give up. Friend, you are at a point of no return. That's significant. I do a lot of flying, and I hear the pilots, and they let me listen in to how the conversation is going and so forth, and they're talking about, the last time I flew in on Saturday, and this guy was saying, you know what, man, I can't wait to get home so I can get pizza. And I'm thinking, is that relative to the flight? But I heard the other man saying is, where is our point of no return? On our trajectory here, or our course, our coordinates, at what point is that we have passed no return? You know what I mean by that? Once they pass that point, they can't go back because they don't have enough fuel. And in this day and age, they're conscious of every drop of fuel, so they don't waste it. And in our Christian lives, friend, you've already gone past that yesterday. There is no going back. And the only way to go is where? Upward and onward. And how are we going to do that? Well, that's a good question. Because I'm as human as you are. Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 14. Philippians 3:14. God gives us our marching orders. He understands our plight. But Paul says it this way. He says, press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude in us, and if anything you have a different attitude, then God will reveal that to you also. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. That word there means that we're moving to our best of our ability, I believe, headed in that direction of goal, pressing onward. Have you ever been in a snowstorm that the wind was trying to push you backward? You can't see because the snow is blinding you, but you have a kind of a direction of where you're headed. And so you barrel down, you put your head down, and you start inching towards that goal, and there's no stopping you. What if we had Christians in the body that were that persistent? What if we had Christians in the body that were that insistent on reaching the goal? And nothing is going to hinder you from reaching that goal. Shouldn't we all be that way? Every morning that I wake up, I've got to ask myself, John, where are you headed? Now he says, well, he's going to McDonald's and get number 2. Sausage biscuit. No. Where are you really headed in life? This particular day, are you headed to heaven? Are you moving towards heaven? You know what that is? That's the essence of victory. And you're not standing still. Because I've learned this. Stuff that is stagnant doesn't smell good after a while. Doesn't look good after a while. Doesn't respond to anything after a while. You know why? Because it's dead. And I, for one, am tired of dead. I'm tired of seeing dead churches. And I'm tired of seeing deadhead Christians that say they're Christians, that have no enthusiasm for anything about God, that have just a mentality that says, you know, we're just going to check in on Sunday morning and we're going to check out. They punch in and then they punch out. And they have done nothing for the kingdom of God. because you're there on a personal mission. The Bible says you're there to stimulate me to love and good deeds as I you. You're there for a lot of things. We are there to build the kingdom of God. And that brings on victory. We can't stagnate. We can't wait around to die. A man said to me one time, he said, John, when are you going to retire? And I said, well, I can retire today. He says, oh yeah, are you that successful? Absolutely. I'm a multimillionaire. Some of you don't know. In the bank of God. Retirement is an awful word in our nation today. It really is. Because what it allows us is now to think of doing absolutely nothing. I've worked, and now I'm going to do absolutely nothing. There is no retirement in Christianity, by the way. There is none. You're going to work, and you're going to be singing 620 or 642, and then you're going to die right there. And that's how it's going to be. And that's the best way you can go, isn't it? Because we're looking towards the goal, prize, seeing victory. Number three, I want to spend a little more, 2 minutes more. Number three, the three G's, victorious Christian living. Get her done. You like that? Get her done. I saw that on a bumper sticker. Get her done. Are you fetching to do that? Are you headed to get the job done? So much of our lives consists of projects that are started but never finished. You're saying, how does he know that? Well, if I visit your garage and I see your automobiles, oh, one day I'm going to paint this. Or one day I'm going to finish this. Or one day I'm finally going to put the trim molding over the door. On and on and on. But here's the clincher to all that. Your life should not get to a state where eventually one day, and then maybe tomorrow, I'm going to take care of those needs. Because it's a stark reality that you and I are dying men and women. As a matter of fact, 12 months from now, there may be a cycle of death come. That's natural, and maybe one or two or three or four of us may not be here next year. We don't know. And when you go and consider what death is, friend, death is permanent. And I know as a Christian, I've battled with the thought of it. And as a young man, you think, man, I just can't die. And then you think, I won't die. But friend, the scripture says that there is coming a time. For is it appointed for all men to die once, then comes the judgment. Notice what Paul says there. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and this is a reality check for our lives. And yes, there is a defeat, as to say, because we're mortal, but then the victory comes. And then we see that we've really gotten it done. But when this perishable, this body, this existence, will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal would have put on immortality, then will come about the saying, it is written, death then is swallowed up in what? Victory. Victory. Victory, he says. O death, now where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us, there it is again, the victory. The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing, he says, that your toil is not in vain. Get her done. You see, because you have all the resources at hand to finish up the project. You have all the motivation you should have to finish up the project. You have some time to finish up what you need to take care of. You need to get it done. As we look in our lives, and most of us here, as I look around, we're very consistent people. How do I say that? Well, because I've watched you year in and year out. Not year in and year out, but as I see you come to camps, I see a lot of faces that are here all the time. That means you're consistent in what you want to do for God. And God knows that. And now he's given us a challenge, I believe, through this, and that is we need to finalize some things. Accomplish some good things. So that at the end, we're ready. Because as we've mentioned, we don't know when it's to come. But you know, as you're standing over one that's gone from this earth and the body remains, I've been there a few times. I've looked over the casket. I've touched the casket. I've touched the green fake grass that they have. And I've moved the green and I looked down into the hole, which you're not supposed to do. I've touched the straps that lower the casket down into the vault. I've hung out afterwards in the bushes and watched the guy come with the backhoe, cover the lid, and put the dirt back on. See, because I've got an inquisitive mind, I wanted to know. And then I leave from there. That's permanent. And the sad thing is, I've actually seen that process happen on people that have not been ready to go. And you leave there, or I have, knowing that there's no other chance. It's over. And they've not gotten it done. There's no victory when you die outside of Jesus. There is no victory when you're dying like today because you're laden down with sin. There is no victory if you've never come to grips with repentance. Friend, you're defeated. God doesn't speak to defeat. He speaks to victory. My challenge to you today is get over it. Get on with it. And friend, get her done. We need victory. And God speaks to that. Victorious Christian living. Let's stand and we pray.